Hi there, and welcome to the All About Symbian podcast with myself as your host, Ewan Spence. As always, you can find more information back at our website, which is www.allaboutsymbian.com. And we're going to try something a little bit different with the podcast over the next couple of shows. Steve, Rafe, and myself are going to take part and do it as a more of a sort of a magazine-style program that you would get if you were listening to local or independent radio, or even if you're Rafe at Radio 4 and the Today program in the morning. So basically, we're going to do lots of like sort of spot articles, short pieces, all about Symbian phones, software, hardware, things that are attracting us, and bundle them all together. And if it's a success, we'll open it up. There's lots of Symbian websites out there, so we'll open them up for guest and editorial slots. You might be hearing other people, not just us three, bouncing around the ideas as well. And we are looking for your feedback. Do leave your comments back on our website. Show notes will probably be at media.allaboutsymbian.com, but if not, you can find the link on the front page and do a search there. Now, later on in the show, Rafe is going to be talking about his impressions of Sony Ericsson's P1, and Steve has a little bit of a dilemma. But what I wanted to pick out, first of all, was my favourite application, which I'm sure we'll get Steve and Rafe to do in the near future as well. But my favourite application, the one that I would put on every single phone pretty much straight away, it's not in the firmware, I just wish it was, which is Mobi Pocket Reader. Now, I'm a great lover of ebooks. I have been, and I dread to say this, but since back to the Scion Series 3A, which only had 512k of memory, and I would be reading novels there which are 100, 200, 300k in length. I think pretty much most of the stories to get one of the Edgar Rice Burroughs Mars novels in, or even the epic philosophical novel, Flatland. And as machines have grown up with me, the Series 5, 5MX, through all the Nokia Communicators, Series 60, Series 18 UIQ devices, I've always looked for an ebook reader. Mobi Pocket Reader is now available over pretty much all the platforms, Series 80, Series 60, even still on Palm and a Windows Pocket PC, if God forbid I'm stuck with them in the middle of a desert island. And I just love ebooks. There's a free application that you can get called WinPRC Maker. And PRC is a documentation file, but Mobi Pocket Reader also does text and HTML as well. It's a great all-round reader just for reading text off the screen, and it's geared towards that one aspect. You know, lots of settings all hidden away, but your whole screen is taken up simply with the page of text. And well, that's pretty good when you're on one of the small devices, which such as the Nokia N91. But you move up to the QVGA screens, the 320 by 240 screens that you get, such on the E61i, which I've recently reviewed and all about Symbian, and you have a gorgeous reading experience. I'm sure you don't get as many words on a page as you would on a paper page, and neither do you have that old musty smell that you get from a book. I mean, that's the one thing that's lacking to take ebook reading mainstream, but it's incredibly comfortable. You don't have to remember what page you're on. You can just switch off your phone, exit the application, come back into it again, and you're in the same place. You can annotate, you can look up. Just a wonderful, comfortable experience. Huh? The other thing, of course, is where do you find all the novels to read? Because obviously you can't, you know, go out and buy the latest copy of Lord of the Rings from Amazon in electronic form. Well, there's a huge range of Creative Commons licensed novels. There's a huge range of free text that you can download. And there is, of course, also the dark corners of the internet, where aforementioned Lord of the Rings may or may not be available. But if you're looking for somewhere to start, Cory Doctorow has a whole bundle of science fiction novels. They released them not only as Creative Commons, but told people if they make a different file format, they re-upload them back to his website, which is www.craphound.com. You look for either the .prc or the .doc file, and either of those will be read by Mobi Pocket Reader, or in fact any of the popular e-readers on the market, and you'll be able to take away a full novel. I think he's got three novels and his short story collection up there on his website as well, and use that to open up the world of your smartphone to the ebook. It's Mobi Pocket Reader, mobipocket.com, and Cory Doctorow is at craphound.com. Now, carrying on with the show, as I said, it's not just me here. We're also going to have Rafe and Steve coming up. Steve's up first. He said to me, look, what am I going to talk about? I said, well, you know, what's concerning you at the moment? Have you got any dilemmas? He went, yes, I'm incredibly torn, and not in a Natalie Imbruglia way. So, Steve.
Yes, you and I am torn. On the desk in front of me, I have a Nokia N93 from last year. I have a Nokia 5500 Sport from last year. I have a Nokia E70 from the very start of last year. I have a Nokia N95 from this year and a Nokia E90 late prototype from this year. I've got five devices in front of me and I want to put my SIM card in one and take it on the road with me. Which one should I use day to day? In other words, which one of these five is best for me? Which one of the five is the best? Let me just talk you very briefly through the dilemma I've had this morning. Starting with the oldest device, the Nokia E70. It's a nice form factor. I love the fact that you can flip it between keypad mode and keyboard mode, but it is slow. When you switch modes, there is still a 2 or 3 second delay sometimes before anything happens. When you start a new entry in an application, sometimes again it's 2 or 3 seconds. And most disappointingly of all, when you try and connect it to a Wi-Fi point, in my case my home network, it just drops out every few minutes. It's so annoying. And the fact the camera's got no flash, etc. 5500, this indestructible S60 smartphone that they launched, waterproof, shockproof, you name it. And it's got an LED torch in built in, which I just love. It's the ultimate little miniature gadget, but the screen is tiny. It's only an inch by an inch, and the keypad's pretty horrible. And I've heard horror stories on the internet about this rubber keypad peeling away. So I reluctantly put that to one side as well. Which leaves me with the big three, I guess. The Nokia N93, the sort of camcorder form-factored smartphone from last year, and the two biggies from this year, the 95 and the E90. Let's take the E90 first. I think the E90 communicator is going to be the device for me and the device for an awful lot of people this year, but it's early days. It's still a month away from general release and availability in shops, at least. The firmware is still being finalised. There are still a few minor bits that don't work. And the main thing is I've got to give it back next week so that they can reflash it and hopefully return it with a brand new production model with production firmware. And I'm really looking forward to that. But that's a month or two away, I think. The N95, everyone's been bowled over by this in terms of specification. But there are some niggles, as you've probably heard in all our reviews. The battery life isn't brilliant, although if you use it wisely, you can still get through a day. The biggest disappointment for me, apart from the maybe the GPS, which is slow to lock on, the biggest disappointment is its core feature, which is the 5-megapixel camera. Yes, it produces 5 megapixels of graphic on your computer screen, but there's so much overzealous edge enhancement, so much extra processing that the N95 puts into all its images. They look terrible, terrible, terrible when you zoom in on them. Now, compare that to the Nokia N93, which I know is last year's model, and I know that if you take pictures in low light, you get various artifacts and there's a bit of digital noise. But the colours are perfect. If you take photos in good enough light, the photos are immaculate. There's no extra edge enhancement. There's no artificial processing that's been applied. You can take N93 photos and perhaps touch them up yourself on the PC, knowing that you're working with the raw data and you're not trying to fix somebody else's bodge. The N93 is a tiny bit bigger than the N95, but it's also got the same feature I loved on the 5500, which is an LED torch. You press a button on the side of the N93 and you get a glorious torch. On my camping holiday last summer, apart from being my main camera and camcorder, the N93 was my torch at nights reading books in the tent. And so I would quite happily read a book for about an hour in the tent by this LED torch in the N93. It's that bright and that good. And it was also my main email device, my main radio, my main music player, and so on. So the N95 should be the best on paper. It's small, it's very highly spec'd, but I just can't get my head around the way they've handled the camera's processing of its images. And for that reason and that reason alone, I've decided to switch my main SIM card back this morning to the Nokia N93, at least until the E90 arrives.
Steve Litchfield there deciding which phone should be the one to carry in his pocket. It's a question I got asked recently as well on the E61i review, and I'm rather like Steve, I don't know what one to choose either. If it's any consolation, nowadays I'm running around with the E61i, but when I went away around America in the last month, although I had the option of an E61, I took an N91 as well, mainly because I had the MP3 player. So it's not a clear-cut decision, and it may help define the market going forward, which phone has the most features the most easy-to-use package. Sony Ericsson have put a great marker in the ground with their second generation of UIQ 3 phones coming out now. The Sony Ericsson P1 recently announced and on display. Rafe has got his hands on it for an extended review. So, Rafe, what is the P1? What's so special about it?
It's a touchscreen device running on UIQ 3 and Symbian OS. It's got a QWERTY keyboard, a 3.2 megapixel camera, onboard Wi-Fi, and a variety of other features that we'll look into more detail later. It's the fifth P-series phone from Sony Ericsson. There's certainly some venerable history here. Its predecessors include the P800, the P900, the P910, and the P990. It's the fourth UIQ 3 phone from Sony Ericsson. That's in addition to the P990, as we've already mentioned, the M600 and the W950. In many ways, the P1 is a synthesis of the M600 and the P990. It takes the P990 feature set and puts it inside the M600 form factor. However, in reality, it's probably better seen as one more option in the UIQ lineup. Different people are going to want different devices. For example, the P990 had the flip, which enabled flip close mode, something that the P1 doesn't have. However, one of the most important changes with the P1 is an improvement in the stability of the platform. The UIQ 3 phones, most notably the P990, suffered criticism from both users and the media about the stability of the device in terms of software and memory. This is much improved on the P1i. One of the principal reasons for this is the increase in available RAM. It's increased from 64 to 128 megabytes. But because of the fact that the P990 had 14 megabytes after boot, this effectively means there's four times as much available RAM. The end result of this is a much more stable phone. You won't see the memory out errors as you got in RAM-heavy applications such as Opera, and you'll be able to multitask more applications at the same time. I saw the P1i having 15 to 20 applications running in the background at the same time, something that the other UIQ 3 phones just wouldn't be able to do. Moreover, there's been a lot of work done on the internal software, the firmware of the phones. This seems to make the device run a lot more quickly and as well as a lot more stably. The good news for existing UIQ 3 phone owners is that a lot of this is also going to be backported into the other phones. Indeed, the recent P990 firmware release, which made the phone a lot more stable, is the first example of this. The P1i is in many ways what UIQ 3 should have been when Sony Ericsson was releasing the P990. It's a stable and mature platform that's incredibly powerful and offers a lot of potential. So let's take a quick look at the feature set of the P1. There's the QWERTY keyboard that is the same as on the M600, where there's two keys on each letter. However, the keyboard's been improved. There's just a better feeling of feedback and overall it should increase typing speeds. There's the usual predictive text input as well as handwriting recognition for those who don't want to use the keyboard. And above this is the screen. This has actually been improved, I think, over the previous phones. There's slightly better display in bright conditions. Although, as with all touchscreen devices, it's never quite as good as the non-touchscreen devices thanks to the extra touch-sensitive layer. The Wi-Fi support is retained from the P990, but out-of-the-box VoIP support is going to be available. This is provided by a third-party application called Uniphone. Other than that, there's also improved push email support. There's the usual Rode Sync Microsoft Exchange ActiveSync support, but there's also support for Bradley's Research in Motion, and as well as 7 Visto Telesync Nokia solution, as well as Ericsson's own mobile office solution. There's the Opera version 8 browser, which gives a pretty good web page rendering and web experience. It's also a very powerful imaging and multimedia phone. The 3.2 megapixel camera is improved over the P990. The autofocus means that this is a very decent camera and should, for most people, replace a bog-standard digital camera. It may not produce the same results as a really high-end camera, but for most people it's going to be more than good enough. I think it will compare favourably with the good cameras such as the N93 and the N95, despite the fact it doesn't match them in absolute megapixel terms. There's also the usual media player for playing music and video, and because of the support for the A22P Bluetooth profile, that means you'll be able to play your music wirelessly over stereo Bluetooth headphones. There's a whole load of other features too. We won't go into them in detail here, but they're much the same as on the other UIQ 3 phones. It's a very powerful platform with a whole host of onboard software, such as QuickOffice and PDF Plus for attachments, as well as various small applications such as a stopwatch, alarm clock, and sound recorder. There's a lot on offer here, and it's certainly an attractive overall proposition. So what's my overall opinion on the P1? Well, at first I wasn't that impressed. After all, it doesn't really push any feature or specification boundaries. However, it's very easy to get bogged down in looking at the latest thing or the newest feature. What it actually comes down to is how good is the phone to use in the real world, and this is where I think the P1i really excels. It offers a whole host of options, and in fact, that's what's really positive about the whole platform. Here you've got a phone where you can use a QWERTY keyboard or handwriting recognition, where there's a whole range of push email options, where there's a powerful PIM suite, but above all, there's also the ability to add third-party applications. Moreover, Sony Ericsson have fixed many of the stability and memory issues, and the device now is extremely attractive. The design's pretty impressive too. It's improved over the M600 in the form factor terms, and it's much improved over the P990 in size terms. I think there'll be a lot of people who like this phone, and I think it should do very well.
Rafe there with his thoughts on Sony Ericsson's P1. And that is our the end of this new podcast magazine format from All About Symbian. My name's Ewan Spence, and as I said, comments would most welcome back on our website, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Of course, you knew that already, the name gives it away. We're hoping to do these weekly, so this time next week, come in for another magazine podcast. If you've got any ideas for any features or any questions that you'd like to ask Steve, Rafe, or myself, maybe we could address them in the next podcast, make this a little bit more of a two-way experience. But for now, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com, copyright 2006.